MG, of course, it is beanies for brain cancer round, and you as a bald man, you love a beanie.
Love a beanie. I love a beanie, but I love the cause as well.
Absolutely. The Mark Hughes Foundations, the beanies, you can get them at select IGA stores through Lowe's, or you can buy them through the Mark Hughes Foundation website. One man like yourself, I imagine, would love a beanie at this time of year. He is the host of the Health Hacker podcast. You can listen to that via the listener app, LISTNR. Go and grab it now. Adam Mad Dog McDougall. Mad Dog, how are you?
I'm very good, my friends. And you know, the beanie was invented by a bald man that actually took a kettle kozer and put it on his head. So there you go.
Is that true?
A tea kozer, yeah.
In the cold weather.
Is that
right? Yes, it is true.
Invention is the mother cozy. Of necessity. Or yeah. Necessity is the mother of invention. That's the one.
Well, Mad Dog, Liam just mentioned that you love the cause, but you love the man as well. Mark Hughes, you've had a lot to do with him this special round that's been going for 5 or 6 years now, but you've got a really strong bond with him as well.
Yeah, look, I think the reason why this cause has created so much momentum is because of the man that stands behind the actual Mark Hughes Foundation, and that's Mark Hughes himself. And as a rugby league player at Newcastle, we live by the motto, be the player that every other player wants to play with. And Hughesy was one of them blokes. He wasn't, endowed with any great strength or speed or skill, but he was a guy that just found something within himself to, turn up every week and give 110% and really compete. And, I'll never forget the morning of, the grand final in 1997, throwing my mind back a number of years. But we went down to breakfast, and Mark Hughes is always one of them fun, blokes in the team that give everyone a laugh. And we walked down to breakfast, myself and Andrew Johns, and we looked across and we could see Mark Hughes have a long look on his face. We didn't know what was going on. So we went up to him and said, "What's wrong, mate?" And he sort of pointed down at the newspaper and he said, "Look at this." He said, "Look what they've said about Andrew Johns. Andrew Johns, the best player in the world. Adam McDougall, powerful ball runner. Mark Hughes, shoulders like a brown snake." and he looked up, he took a sip of his coffee, he said, "You know what? Brown snakes are the deadliest snakes in the world. Yeah. You wait till you see these shoulders, baby."
Hey, and Mad Dog, in your professional life, with your business and everything that you've built, you know how difficult it is to actually build something that not only generates momentum but maintains it. And to see what Boozy has done with the Beanies for Brain Cancer round over the 5-6 years that it's been in existence, it truly is a remarkable effort.
Oh, it is, and it's an amazing effort from the big corporations that get behind it, the NRL, Channel 9, obviously, Matt Callender, and Matt was a big loss for everybody in the rugby league community. So, it's something that touches a lot of people, brain cancer, and it's something that doesn't get a lot of funding and a lot of attention. So, Mark has a saying that he lives by, which is don't save the good china for tomorrow. By that he means, a lot of people only pull out the good cutlery when it's a birthday or an anniversary or a special event. Mark's saying every bloody day on this planet is a celebration. So enjoy life because you just don't know what's around the corner. And, live each day like it's your last day and tell the people that, you love that you love them. And, do your best and enjoy life as much as you can because terrible things do happen. And unfortunately, sometimes these things didn't have the attention and money they deserve. And Mark's legacy is he's determined to find a cure for this terrible disease.
Yeah, fantastic bloke. We spoke to him last Thursday about this new foundation being built. That's thanks to the funding of the foundation, they'll have their own specialists here in Australia, so they'll be able to help a lot more people. Okay, that's the warm and fuzzy stuff out of the way. Now for the Newcastle Knights, who are coming 14th.
This is not so warm and fuzzy.
You've been there through the good, the bad, the ugly. Mostly the good. 1997, 2001 grand final winners. At the moment, Newcastle sit 14th. How much of their season can they keep blaming on two players being out, i.e. Ponga and Pierce?
Well, I don't think you can, really. I think at the end of the day, I think all clubs have the same salary cap opportunities and, how you build your roster and how you build your culture. You just go back to Melbourne and, Melbourne just get the job done every week, regardless if they've got their star players there or not. So it comes back to your foundations and your culture. And, the Knights need to have a real hard look at themselves, unfortunately. I'm a diehard Knights fan, and I love the guys, I love the team, and I love the town. But I won't lie to you, it is pretty painful watching them play at the moment. They just seem to lack that grit and that determination. And and that mental fortitude that, you know, this great city's been built upon, which is being tough and turning up and, you know, putting your body on the line. And unfortunately, you know, there's some performances which aren't really reflective of that at the moment, which is really disappointing because, you know, you can't always turn up with the most ability in a football team, but you can turn up with the most effort and the most passion and energy, and they're just not doing that either, which is disappointing.
Shane Flanagan is the name that continues to pop up. Obviously, Adam O'Brien probably doesn't want him there because it's like letting the wolf into the hen house. But the powers that be at the Knights reportedly interested in adding Shane Flanagan to the mix, whether that's as a head of football, a coaching advisor,
consultant,
whatever sticker you want to put on it. Do you think he would be a worthwhile addition?
Oh, I've never really understood this situation where they do this. It'd be like, you know, me and my wife getting a divorce and then she comes and appraises my new missus. So, you know, you don't want her there, do you? You don't want her there. Like, that's why you broke up with her. So if the head coach doesn't want this bloke sniffing around, why bring him in? You know, it's just going to make him more unhappy. It's going to make him even more paranoid. Look, we all know that coaches are bloody weirdos for a reason, because the job drives them into being a weirdo.
Yep.
So who needs to be jumping at their shadows when someone, like you said, Liam, is, you know, the wolf's in the hen house. It only makes them more weird and more paranoid and, you know, less productive. So, you know, I can't believe you'd want to bring someone in that the coach doesn't want in there. It just doesn't help the situation, and it's not good for anyone.
Well, he's there long-term, Adam O'Brien, for the next at least 3 years. What's the pass mark for this one, 2021?
Well, I mean, they had to make the 8 this year, MG, let's be honest. You know, they've been buying pretty aggressively. You know, I know they've had injuries, but like I said to you before, you know, Melbourne don't leak 40 points week on week.
No.
You know, because of the culture and the ability that they've been able to build that ethos into their playing roster. So no matter who turns up, they all have a job. They know how to do that job, and they know how to commit their bodies to get the job done. And if they get beat, they get beat, you know, not by 40. So there's huge problems. If you're relying on one or two star players not to get beat by 40 points every week, you've got a real problem at your football club.
I am enjoying more and more these insights into the workings of not only Newcastle, the football club, but Newcastle, the town that we get from Mad Dog on a weekly basis now. It is.
They're a massive satellite city, baby.
Absolutely.
Big audience on this show. We love them.
This man has his finger on the pulse. Now, Mad Dog, before we let you go, is breakfast the most important meal of the day?
Well, if you're fat, it definitely is, believe it or not. So research has shown that if you are overweight and you're trying to lose weight, that you want to eat breakfast. And the reason being is that it gives you more energy to move throughout the day. And, you know, partake in one of MG's fantastic exercise classes in the Penrith area. And you actually end up physically moving more throughout the door with incidental sort of exercise. And when you do eat lunch, your body's better able to use them calories in the lunch to use muscles and to basically fuel your body to move more than if you skip breakfast. Whereas if you're skinny, it doesn't matter as much. Mm-hmm. So it is the most important meal, but make sure it's high in protein and high in fibre, and don't eat a cereal breakfast like a 12-year-old boy, because as we get older, boys, we need more protein for our muscles, and MG gets plenty of protein. That's why his biceps are so beautiful.
My eggs, baby. I'm lost without my boiled eggs in the morning.
See, don't sell the farm, though, Mad Dog. This is the point. He's giving you a little snippet of the latest episode of The Health
Yes.
Hacker. Which is up right now on the Listener app. Go and check it out. We know that last episode, MG, you listened to, because it was the 6 foods to boost your sex drive.
Yes. Watermelon, baby. I just bought 12 watermelon.
He's invested in a watermelon farm.
But, well, I've got one for you, boys.
Go for it.
Before cereal become the most popular breakfast in 1953, after a cereal company came up the marketing campaign, breakfast is the most important meal of the day. What do you think most people had for breakfast prior to 1953?
Steak.
Yeah, steak.
Beer soup.
Beer.
And the Egyptians actually started this trend. Yes, beer was the most popular breakfast pre-industrialization. So, wow. And the Romans and the Greeks used to start their day with wine. So there you go, guys.
Oh, I should have been born in the 50s then.
If you want to hear more about why breakfast could be the most important meal of the day, go and check out the Health Hacker podcast, available via the Listener app. Mad Dog, always a pleasure. We will speak to you next week.
Have a great week, guys. Take care.